Hey, tis I. Richard Dixon, Talk 99.5, Talk99.5.com. Portions of today's show brought to you by Love Lady Electrical Contractors. Big jobs like wiring up entire subdivisions. Small jobs like coming out and fixing your ceiling fan. Everything in between. They do it all, and they do it. They've done it for me. They're going to come back and do some more for me, too, because I love these guys. I trust them. I believe them. They know their stuff. When they tell you, yeah, we're going to do it, it's going to cost you this much, great. You can take that to the bank. I love it. They'll also give you $30 off your initial call if you mention you heard it here. Love Lady Electrical Contractors. Love Lady Electrical Contractors. 30 years in the business. 30. You look at Jeremy Love Lady. He doesn't look like he's spent 30 years doing anything. He looks like he's about 30. Some of us don't age that gracefully. That's 603-3692. 603-3692, Love Lady Electrical Contractors. All righty then. Let's talk about some of the other stuff that is going on that I've not yet touched upon yet. The Supreme Court has once again rejected a GOP challenge to the Pennsylvania election rules. They remanded it back down to the appeals court and said, dismiss this as the case is moot. Their argument seems to be, well, the election's over, so it doesn't matter. Kind of a funny, cute way to do this. Before the election, when people were challenging, the court said, well, you can't prove that that's harmed you yet. You have to wait until after the election. After the election, their response was, well, it doesn't matter because the election's been certified, so there's no point in. You know, it's a great way for the court system in general, and the Supreme Court in particular, to avoid having to deal with any of this and not get their hands dirty. And I feel for, I do, I honestly feel for the three justices that were put on by Donald Trump because, you know, they're in a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. If they did, in fact, side with the majority and get on this, because I'm pretty sure that Alito and Thomas were on board with this, but if they did side with the majority and say, yeah, we want to look into this and we want to, you know, hear about this, oh, you're only doing that because the guy who lost appointed you. And then when they don't do it for whatever reason, they hear from people like me who are like, well, you're not doing it just because you're afraid you're going to be called out because you're the, you know, you were put there by the guy who lost. It's a sticky situation for them to be in, but this not listening to these court challenges, these vote challenges, is a bad precedent to set given the fact that there's going to be another vote coming up. In 2022, we're having more elections. And if you're going to allow what happened in Pennsylvania is the Pennsylvania legislature, made up mostly of Republicans, said, here's how we're going to handle this. We're going to allow this kind of voting under these circumstances for this amount of time. And the Pennsylvania Supreme Court came in and said, oh, that's not nearly enough. We're going to allow much more voting under these circumstances, which are much more open for a much longer time. And in fact, absentee ballots can come in 3 days after the election day and we'll still count them and crazy stuff like that. Given the fact that the Constitution gives the states, i.e. state legislatures, the power to make election law and does not allow the state Supreme Courts, does not allow the secretaries of state of these states to make these laws. Given that fact, what happened there was unconstitutional, as was the case in Georgia, where you had the Secretary of State doing a consent decree, as was the case in Michigan, where you had the same thing and the Supreme Court stepping in. None of those election laws were constitutional. And the Supreme Court's take on it is, well, the election's over. There's no point in worrying about it now. Well, there is a point in worrying about it because we got another election, 2022, 2024. If you're going to allow these things to continue to go, and every time someone brings a challenge, you say, well, you can't prove you were harmed by it. No, we can prove we were harmed by it last election, but you chose not to take that case because once it was over, your decision was, well, the election's over. There's no point. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy, and it's wrong. But I will say that you can't put down the gauntlet. You can't stop fighting. You have to keep fighting. You have to continue to hold these people's feet to the fire. You have to continue to hold the Secretary of State of Georgia, Brad Raffensperger, who is a large weasel. We kind of want to go back and recheck your work, and we want to do a full audit on all of the ballots in Fulton County because we feel like maybe something went wrong there. Oh, no, you're not doing that. Why not? What are you afraid of? We'll allow Democratic and Republican observers in there. We just need to take a look at everything and find out if, in fact, something went wrong, because it's a very tight race. It was 8,500 votes. And there's 350,000 ballots that you can't give us a chain of command on. They just showed up in this ballot box, in one of these ballot drop boxes. And we're supposed to just assume that they were okay because we can't find a chain of command on them. We have no idea where they came from, a chain of custody. We want to take a look at that. You look at those over my dead body. You guys have been in court fighting tooth and nail to keep people from doing a full audit. And I'm talking about forensic. I'm talking about feeling the paper, looking at the ink, seeing whether or not these ballots were, I don't know, supposedly mail-in ballots, given the size of the envelope. If they showed up in the envelope that was provided, they had to have been folded. Had to have been folded. And yet we have countless eyewitness accounts from people in Georgia who said these ballots went through. They were never folded. You could see they were never folded. These were supposed mail-in ballots that supposedly showed up at the counting center, after having properly been mailed and vetted, and it's obvious they'd never been folded. Some of them looked like they had been Xeroxed, like somebody had taken one ballot and Xeroxed them all. They were separating them from their envelopes, the envelopes being the places that you would have the signatures that you could verify. And quite frankly, when it came to the recount, the numbers were a little bit too close to being exactly dead on, because in some places they were exactly dead on. It's like, you didn't actually recount these, did you? You just took the old numbers and threw them on there. Because in any kind of recount, you're going to be off by a couple. You're going to have two, three, you know, this way or that way. So it's sad that we have a Supreme Court mostly led by John Roberts. And maybe when we get to the next set of challenges, these three justices, you know, Gorsuch and, Kavanaugh and ACB, they'll feel like, well, enough time has passed. It's no longer about Donald Trump having put us on the court. We can stop worrying about that, stop thinking about that, and stop dealing with it, and we can actually start doing our jobs. I would hope so. Because if we don't have free and fair elections, and maybe, just maybe, what's happening in Arizona. And again, you know, people are like, oh, what are you going to do when they do that complete forensic audit in Maricopa County, Arizona, Richard, and it turns out that there wasn't any fraud? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to accept the results. Maricopa County is a huge county. It is the most populous county in Arizona. There's Maricopa and there's everybody else. That's really it. It has as many people in it as does the rest of Arizona for the most part. So if they go through all of these and they actually do a forensic audit and they actually audit the machines and they come back and say, we could find no evidence of fraud whatsoever, okay, I'm accepting the results. That's great. That's all I wanted, by the way. And I wanted that in Pennsylvania. I wanted that in Michigan. I wanted that in Nevada. I wanted it in Georgia. I wanted it in Wisconsin. I don't think these are unreasonable. These are the places where they stopped counting at some point, unprecedented in my lifetime, stopped counting at some point, and said, we'll come back and start again in the morning. And then when they started again, well, by God, the numbers had flipped and Joe Biden was in a big lead. Huh. If you could watch that sort of naturally develop, might be a little bit more willing to accept it. But no, we had to stop counting. We're in Georgia, pretend to stop counting, as we found out later, they never actually stopped. Yeah. If this Arizona full-scale audit in Maricopa County turns up the kind of fraud that many on the right are claiming took place, including Mike Lindell, if it turns up the kind of highly questionable activity like ballots that had clearly been run through Xerox machines, copying machines, ballots that were from people who had moved out of state some time ago and people who are willing to sign affidavits who say, I never filled out a ballot. I moved out of state and I never got a ballot and I never filled out a ballot. I can swear to you that's not my signature. I didn't have anything to do with this. Somebody else did this for me in my name. I didn't want it to happen, but they did it in my name. If they uncover that kind of stuff, then boy, I would like to see the dominoes start falling. I would like to see Nevada say, gosh, maybe we better do the same thing. I would like to see Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania and Georgia say, they found that kind of fraud? Maybe we'd better dig a little deeper. So I'm telling you, the truth will come out. I told you at the time, there's going to be books written about this. There's going to be mini-series about this. There's going to be all kinds of stuff. There's going to be news reports. Watch and see. The 2020 election is far from over. And there's a lot of folks out there who are thinking that maybe it wasn't 100% kosher. And when you have the man who supposedly got the most votes of any president in the history of presidents, and he has to have 25,000 National Guard troops at his nearly empty inauguration and put up fences around the White House and the Capitol building, that should speak volumes about how many people actually voted for this guy. Okay. It is 1:13. Quick break. Back in a flash. Richard Dixon, Talk995, talk995.com. Every song on the album. Oh, so good. 1:17, Talk995, talk995.com. I am your radio presenter, Richard Dixon. That's what they call them in the UK. Radio presenter. Yeah, I don't know. Parent Structural Services bringing you a huge chunk of today's show, the part that's upright and stable and not cracking or crumbling or falling, because that's what they do. They're in the foundation repair business. A lot of people do this. Parent doesn't do that and a bunch of other stuff. They do this. This is what they do. That's why they're called Parent Structural Services. You know, they can make sure that your foundation is on the up and up where it needs to be. Solid ground, which is what you're looking for. Solid ground. And, obviously somebody who's going to be honest with you. You want integrity. You want somebody who's been around and knows a thing or two. Well, that's about it. I mean, when you talk about integrity, when you talk about experience, you're talking about Parrot Structural Services, licensed, bonded, insured, E-Verify compliant. Financing is available, and you can find out more at their fabulous website, ParrotSS.com. ParrotSS.com, a good place to go to get yourself an education on what it's all about. Alfie, Parrot Structural Services, 668-2626, or online at ParrotSS.com. James is in Hayden on the Birmingham Broker phone line with an answer to the big stupid question of the day. Your porn star name, your middle name, and the first car you owned. What is it, James?
Well, it's not working out too well for a male,
Yeah. But
it would be Lynn Skylark.
And mine was also a Skylark. What year Skylark did you have?
62.
Oh, man, I had a 72. So I was a ways behind you. A 350. This was supposed to be a family car. I had a 350 2-barrel in it that would blow Trans Ams off the road. It was amazing.
And it was all aluminum, too.
Yeah. I miss this car. I really miss this car. I wish if I could go. I don't miss the gas that it guzzled. I will say that.
The middle name, Lynn, that was my great-grandfather's name.
Huh. Yeah, very good. No, it's not uncommon. I've known several adults, males named Lynn. Not uncommon. Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate it. 1:20 our time. If you are fed up and you cannot do the true crime thing on, streaming documentaries anymore, and it seems like so many of them are about true crime, aren't they? And I love it. I lap them up. I'm a big fan. I'm not going to lie to you. I adore true crime documentaries. But if you can't take it anymore, there are some documentaries that have nothing to do or very little to do with true crime. How about The Mole Agent on Hulu? This is in a Chilean town outside of Santiago. Sergei Chame answered an unusual newspaper ad, said elderly male needed, retired between 80 and 90 years old, independent, discreet, and competent with technology. Turns out a private investigator had been hired by a guy who was convinced that his mother in a nursing home was being mistreated and abused. So they hooked this 83-year-old recent widower, who had both the time and the inclination, to a bunch of kind of cool spy technology and sent him undercover into the nursing home. A nursing home which, by the way, there are 4 men for every 40 women in the home. And madness ensues. This is a documentary again. This is not completely fabricated, although it sounds like something it could be. The Ringmaster is on Amazon Prime. It has to do with a guy who really makes great onion rings. Locally famous onion rings, Larry Lang. He's a Minnesota native. And the dude who wants to make a documentary about him and get really big press on it, amateur filmmaker Zachary Kapp, tries to continue to push this onion ring maker to greater and greater things. And the onion ring maker pushes back. And then eventually, crew members on the film actually turn the cameras on the supposed filmmaker. And that's when things go to hell. Sounds fascinating. I told you about The Last Blockbuster. It's on Netflix. It's a truly great film if you haven't had a chance to see it. If you remember Blockbuster, I really recommend it. If you remember renting from Blockbuster, it brings back a lot of fond memories. And the fact is, there is still a Blockbuster out there. It's in Bend, Oregon. Class Action Park, which had to do with Action Park, a chaotic water park where people got hurt and some died, and how the thing managed to stay in business for as long as it did. That sounds like a fascinating documentary, doesn't it? It's on HBO Max if you've got it. I don't. And Some Kind of Heaven, which is available on digital and video on demand. I don't know what that means exactly, but it's about a place that I have been to and been through on multiple occasions. It's called The Villages. You may have seen ads for it up here. Cable TV runs a lot of them.
You mean
the
place with the highest STD rate in America?
Yes, the highest STD rate in America, because all these old people have got nothing else to do. It's got cool nicknames like God's Waiting Room and The Velvet Casket, because of the way its residents prioritize comfort in their golden years. It's fascinating. It talks about the community's newspaper, which buries the actual news of the day behind articles about the golf cart precision drill team and interviews detailing the residents' views about the new cafe opening. If I'm an oldster and I'm parking my ass in The Villages, where you're getting some pretty cool stuff. I mean, there's golf courses there. There's a lot of stuff within walking distance. If not, you can get a golf cart and you can move from place to place. It's a retirement village where everybody is your age, but people remain active. And there's a lot of restaurants. There's a lot of bars. There's a lot of activity, a lot of stuff that you can do. I'm not interested in knowing what's on in the outside world. I want to be in my bubble. If that's where I retire to, I want to be in that damn bubble. I understand why the newspaper is not writing about, you know, World War II breaking out or what's happening in Minneapolis with the Chauvin trial and the potential verdict coming down and all of that stuff. No, thank you. But this documentary focuses on a couple of people on the inside who might not be as happy as you would think they should be. Mm-hmm. So there's some documentaries you can take a look at if you are so inclined. I loved the Night Stalker doc. I really did. And then there are some that I start watching and I get like two episodes in and I go, I can't do this anymore. I'm not interested. I fade. Frankly, I'm rewatching The Orville in expectation of later this year, them getting a third season. Boy, they need a third season. All right, it's First News time. Richard Dixon, Talk 99.5, talk99.5.com. So I did a little bit of math, not necessarily on my house, but I did a little math on SHG's house. Given what Michael Weber told us yesterday, that houses are worth 6 to 8% more today than they were a year ago. Now, when you refi and you get what you call those comparables, because there always has to be comparables, you're comparing to other houses that are similar to yours that have sold and what they sold for. If they're selling for a lot of money, then it's safe to say that your house is worth a lot of money. And sometimes you don't have to do nothing but sit on your butt and wait for that to happen. And guess what? It's happening right now. So you could feasibly imagine if you owed, I don't know, let's say you have a house that's supposedly worth $200,000. Let's just take 8% because he said as much as 10%. So 8% is kind of a middle number there. You are looking at, well, an awful lot. I mean, $16,000 more than you might otherwise get. That's nothing to sneeze at right there. If you decide to refi and take that money out and use it for other purposes, that's fine. If nothing else, your loan to value is going to drop precipitously. That could help you with things like mortgage insurance. There's a lot to like about doing a refi right now with Weber Mortgage, whatever your reasoning may be. WeberMortgage.com, WeberMortgage.com, 1B270-5550, 270-5550. The market being tight is your gain, so give them a call. Weber Mortgage, 270-5550, NMLS number 219938, and online at Weber with 1B, WeberMortgage.com. KC's in Alabaster with an answer to the big stupid question of the day. What's your porn star name, KC? Talk to me.
How's it hanging, Richard?
To the left and very, very, very long. Okay, sorry. Enough about that. So, yeah. Overshare.
Another thing, Class Action Park, that is a legit documentary. I cannot believe they got away with the stuff they were doing.
One of the things that this review talks about is how people who went there and weren't hurt look back on it nostalgically like it's some sort of badge of honor that they, oh, remember we hung out there all the time, and yeah, we survived that, and I can't believe we survived this. It's like, wow.
They let a bunch of drunk and high 17 and 18-year-olds run
park. They were so busy having sex in the Alpine ski lodge at the top of the ride that they couldn't be bothered. Like when someone loses their teeth on a ride, how do you deal with that?
I would have loved to have gone, you know. But okay, and big stupid question of the day. I'll probably win the prize for the weirdest porn name, middle name, car, and I'm about to out myself, and I'll have to change my handle when I call in. But
okay.
Shadron Imark.
Shadron Imark. That's a name. That is a $50 name right there, baby. That is a high.
My buddies would be Charles T-1000.
I think that's a Terminator. I think that's your Terminator name. Something ain't right there. Beautiful, Casey. Thank you for the call. Shadron. Let's talk to Roberto in Gardendale. Robert, you're on Talk 99.5. What's going on?
It's going fantastic. How about yourself, boss?
I am exquisite as always.
There we go. All right. Mine sounds like I should be working more into the sci-fi side of porn, but HAL Nova.
I like it. That's good stuff, man. HAL Nova. Oh, count me in. I love that. I wish that was mine. No, I'm glad I didn't own a Nova, to be honest. was it a good car?
I had a 72. Loved it.
Yeah, I mean, I love my Skylark as well. It was a 72. I didn't get it until 80. So it was already 8 years old and a lot of wear and tear on it from a family of six, actually, riding at it during that time.
Well,
thank you for the call, Hal.
85 the same way. Thank you.
It's funny how that works. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Have a lovely day. There's Robert. 1:35 our time. David, Dairy Queen, they're not happy about us being on Way to Wellness.
I know. I saw that story, and I was like, you sons of bitches.
How, you sons of beaches, bastages, you ice holes. This is awful. The Summer Blizzard Treat Menu. Out of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of these, there are 4 that I find damn near irresistible. Starting with the Girl Scout Thin Mint Blizzard. Girl Scout Thin Mints Cookie Pieces and Cool Mint blended with DQ Soft Serve. Oh, what are you doing to me, man? Then the Brownie Batter Blizzard. Creamy DQ Soft Serve blended with rich brownie batter and chewy brownie dough pieces.
Ugh.
So you're getting the crunchy and the soft texture and the soft serve, chocolate, vanilla. You're speaking my language here, man. This one I initially bypassed, and then I took another look at it, and I thought, no, it actually might be my favorite. Raspberry Fudge Bliss Blizzard. Real raspberries, soft fudge pieces, and Choco Chunks blended with signature DQ soft serve. Oh, my God. The raspberries have got a kind of a tart thing going for them, which would offset the sweetness of the fudge and the chocolate chunks. And it would give you that third texture in there, which is... The drumstick with peanuts blizzard. When was the last time you had a drumstick? You know, the good old cone that had
those,
the...
Those were my go-to in the summers growing up.
God.
My mom had to hide them because I would probably eat 4 at a time. Mm.
I have to admit, I ate one just about 3 weeks ago. I was at SHG's house, and she had a box in the freezer. And she had gone through a few of them, and her son had gone through a couple of them, apparently. And so there were 3 or 4 laying out, and I was like, I haven't had one of these in, every bit as good as I remember it. Crispy choco-covered drumstick waffle cone pieces and chopped peanuts blended with, of course, the signature DQ soft serve. Oh, come on. You know what this reminds me of? Is that Bluebell ice cream that they brought up.
Yes,
yes, right up there. Remember the ice cream that Bluebell brought us that was the cookies and cream cone?
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Yeah. I actually ran across that, and it was on sale at my local grocery store, $2.99 for a pint. I mean, Bluebell generally goes in the $3 and $4 range, so this stuff at $2.99, I was like, all right, I'll buy it. I gotta have it. To my credit, it took four different sessions of eating it to finish it, because it was so good.
You have more restraint than me, man. Once I get a pint, I'm finished the pint.
Stuff is crazy. I'm telling you, the texture and the flavors all work together in that. You get the cookies, you get the cream, you get the cone pieces that are in there, and it's chocolate and, oh, so good. Frosted Animal Cookie Blizzard. I can take it or leave it.
I know you're not a fan of that, but those were some of my favorite cookies. The pink icing on the animal cookies was just so good.
Pink confetti frosted, blending with the soft serve there. And then the cotton candy blizzard. Cotton candy is
That's for little kids because it's just ridiculously sweet.
It's the looser version of Peeps when you think about it. Basically, if you took a Peep and you spun it out into a fine, fine hair, you'd have cotton candy. Cotton candy sprinkles blended with creamy DQ. I'll tell you what is interesting is we used to go to the circus when I was a kid. And I didn't know that I didn't like a cotton candy. And I think like 3 years in a row, I would get the cotton candy and I would eat it and I'd be left wanting. And I realized I was eating through that cotton candy to get to what I thought was some sort of prize at the center. And then when you got to the center, there was just this crappy paper cone. And so the fourth year, my dad is like, you want some cotton candy? I was like, no, I don't. I'm really not interested. And he was like, I thought you loved cotton candy. Yeah, I thought so too. Turns out, nope.
Did you try the different flavors? Is the blue and the pink?
Exactly the same.
No, they're
they all taste
different.
Like sugar.
They're completely different.
Yeah, like blue all Fruit different. Loops taste different.
Exactly,
sure.
Richard.
Right. Let's talk to Ricky in NOLA, hanging out in beautiful NOLA. You're down in the French Quarter. What are you doing, Ricky? What's the story, huh?
I wish I was in the French Quarter right now.
No.
Sitting in my bucket truck at work.
The old bucket
anyway,
truck. Doesn't get any better than that.
That's right. The stupid question of the day. Lynn Swinger.
Was that a Pontiac? A Pontiac Swinger?
Dodge Dart Swinger.
Oh, the Dodge Dart Swinger. Yeah. Yeah, I had a Dodge Dart. That was my second car, was the Dodge Dart, with the push-button transmission. Yeah.
Uptown.
People thought it was a granny car, but I loved that car.
That car. That would run good.
Covered with chrome as well. Beautiful, Ricky. Thank you for the call. It was a 64 Dodge Dart, and it was their 50th anniversary. And I'll go into the details about it someday, not right now. Dalton is in Fultondale. Dalton, you're on Talk 99.5. What's going on?
Not much, man. How you doing?
I am putting on a little radio show, as always.
There you go. Hey, I was going to let you know, I tried that sweet tea, the Louisiana with the Splenda mixed into it.
Yeah.
And it's turned me completely that direction, man. That stuff is fantastic. I added about a quarter cup of actual sugar to it just because I needed it a little bit more.
Okay.
But, yeah, that stuff's fantastic. Big stupid question. I'm gonna do Hunter Blazer. Yeah.
All right, we have a winner. Everyone can stop calling now. We have a winner. Hunter Blazer.
Yeah.
Starring Hunter Blazer. It sounds like he'd be in one of those movies where they take like a regular movie title and they you know, change it to make it sound, make it more porn. You know, Forrest Hump, starring Hunter Blazer. Yeah. Shaving Ryan's Privates, starring Hunter Blazer. That'll be enough of that. Thank you, Dalton. Appreciate the call.
Thank you.
I think Louisiana owes me some money now because I have publicized their sweet tea bags. I use them too. And here's what I figured out. Four tea bags into 2 quarts of water. All right. So it's a half gallon of water. And I use four, and I steep for 7 minutes, And then I use a use 4 cups of ice, 4 cups of ice, and 2 cups of cold water to bring that thing down to, you know, room temperature. Then I chill overnight. And that's what I was drinking just a couple of minutes ago, as a matter of fact. And it is the best. I was shocked to find that Louisiana got the sugar or the sweetness to tea ratio correct. They really did. If I could make it myself, I would make it just like this. But thanks to them, I don't have to. And now, the next time I'm at the store, I'm going to buy those damn tea bags out. I am going to buy them out. I bought them 2 for 1 last time I was there, and I feel like I got a hell of a deal. All right, 143, got to take a break. Back in a flash, Richard Dixon, TalkNet95, TalkNet95.com. Landscaping and so much more. Professionals who are going to come out and treat your lawn right at a price you're going to love. 205-821-7015, 205-821-7015. That is Chance Landscaping and so much more for your lawn. And now, we do it every once in a while. It's nice to get the good news, isn't it? Sure it is. So let's get a So Nice embroidery printing and promotion feel-good story of the week.
Oh, it's so nice.
So you got a whole bunch of people. It could be kids on a ball team. They could be adults all working for the same company, and you need to have the logo upper left chest embroidered on a sports shirt. Maybe you got a church league softball team. Look, So Nice Embroidery Printing and Promotions can provide uniforms, shirts, caps, any and all of these things. And I'm talking about embroidery. I'm talking about screen printing. I'm talking about heat pressing, vinyl. Maybe you're interested in sublimation. If you don't know what that is, don't worry about it. But it can make the shirts look very cool, like the printing is actually a part of the shirt. Direct-to-garment printing. They do a lot of stuff at So Nice Embroidery Printing and Promotions. Head and shoulders above the competition. They come in on time, under budget. You will love your experience with So Nice Embroidery Printing and Promotion. 594-5461. 594-5461. SEWNiceEmbroidery.com. SEWNiceEmbroidery.com. They're the ones you need to talk to. Let's get to the good news, shall we? Got a couple of little stories for you here. Number one, over 20 people held hands and formed a human chain to rescue a swimmer at a beach near Panama City, Florida last week. Those rip currents are getting very serious. A teacher unfortunately passed away trying to save a couple of kids. The kids somehow managed to survive, but the teacher unfortunately passed away. In this case, you had 20 people who said, hey, look, we got to get out there, form a human chain. They'll drag the kids, swimmer in, because those rip currents, man, they are not to be played with. If you've ever been caught in one, you know how bad they can be. Big dog recently saved a little dog from drowning in a pool. The owners were gone when their tiny Pomeranian fell into the pool and couldn't get out. But their other dog, a 7-year-old bull terrier, spent 34 minutes trying to rescue him, finally pulled him out with her teeth. It's amazing what security cameras will show you about what you've been out, huh? And a couple in Northern California struggled to get pregnant for 7 years. Their doctor finally said, look, your only hope is to lose weight. You're both clinically obese. So they both had gastric bypass surgery. He lost 317 pounds. She lost 115. Think about that, 432 pounds between them. And they just had their first kid in December. Good for them. Bravo, I say. There's the good news you've been searching for. That is your So Nice Embroidery Printing and Promotion feel-good stories of the week. 594-5461, SEWNiceEmbroidery.com, SEWNiceEmbroidery.com. One of the things that I love, Way to Wellness talks about this, you know, you're trying to get high protein, low fat, low carbs. And they will occasionally, at least they did to me, I don't know about you, David, suggested the old boiled egg. Boiled egg is a great way to get the protein. And it's a good snack in midday, you know, you don't want to scarf down a bunch of food. Because you get all logy and everything, but a good protein-laden hard-boiled egg will help get you through. If you have had a problem with peeling hard-boiled eggs in the past, I have the secret for you to solve that riddle. Here it is. Take a thumbtack. Remember thumbtacks? There's got to be one around somewhere, right? Take a thumbtack and just poke it into the shell on the end, the wide end of the shell. okay? And do that right before you lower that thing into the boiling water. Now, why are you doing that? Well, it releases the air pocket inside, and that makes the egg easier to peel when it's done cooking. So a thumbtack is exactly the right size that you're looking for. It also solves other hard-boiled egg problems, like once the air escapes the shell, you won't have to worry about your eggs cracking as soon as they're submerged. It also takes care of the aesthetic issues. You know, without the air bubbles, your eggs will come out smooth, round ends instead of, you know, you get one flat egg, one flat side. Sometimes you get two flat sides. This is actually a really good way to make sure that you are able to peel the egg at any time going forward. Now, if you're just going to throw them into an ice bath and peel them underwater to make the process smoother, well, that's fine. You can do that kind of all at once. But if you plan on, like I do sometimes, putting a dozen of these things in the fridge and eating them at random, the thumbtack trick is the one to use. There you go. Helpful handy hit from Richard Dixon. Oh, by the way, I put that smoker refurbishing video up last night. 18 minutes. If you want to be bored senseless, check out my Facebook page. It's all right there. It's First News Time.